Welcome to a special edition of the 155 Election Podcast, the Ward 8 Hamilton City Council by-election. Episode 171.
Kevin Gauncey, you are one of 26 candidates here in the Ward 8 by-election. Welcome to the 155 Podcast.
And thank you for having me here today, Joey.
So firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so Kevin Gauncey, I've been born and raised here in Hamilton, where I've lived the last 61 years. Married to my high school sweetheart, Kim, for the last 26 years. A homeowner, raising four boys. I'm near retirement with the Ford Motor Company of Canada, where I've worked for just under 30 years. I've also been a member of the Canadian Forces Army Reserves for 27 years. And proudly received a Canadian Forces decoration for my service. I'm a graduate of Mohawk College, McMaster University, St. Francis Xavier University, and I've probably devoted the last 40 years to community volunteer service, including two terms as parent council chair at McNabb Secondary School, serving on various board positions with community nonprofit organizations. Proud to lay claim to raising over $4 million in community benefits. Established relationships with over 30 community nonprofit organizations over these past few years, and established working relationships with local, municipal, provincial, and federal representatives.
Why are you running for Ward 8 Councillor, and why should people vote for you?
There needs to be a shift in our municipal leadership philosophy, one that prioritizes community first. The current tax and spend approach is affecting my family and, from what I'm hearing, other families across Hamilton. A recent Scott Radley article sums it up quite nicely. Then I see that Hamilton City Council has just approved a 20% reduction in development charges without even knowing the impact this is going to have on our tax levy. The recent Let's Get Real campaign involves a one-year hiring freeze of municipal employees, which I feel is very poorly executed and lacks any kind of staff report or impact assessment on how this is going to impact the level of services within our community. Additionally, the Mayor's Task Force report found that 80% of Hamiltonians do not trust City Hall, which, based on my experience, is not that all surprising. Why should Ward 8 residents vote for me? Well, maybe because I don't represent the status quo, but rather someone who has a balance of real life and practical experience and an established reputation within the community for delivering on commitments and always putting the community first. Running for the position of Ward 8 Councillor is not about enriching myself, but about enriching the community and making it a better place for families to live.
Do you live in Ward 8, yes or no?
No.
What are your thoughts on residency and representation?
I don't feel that residency is necessarily a requirement for elected officials. Our family began in a small one-bedroom apartment over on the Kendall Court, just near Westmount Secondary School in Ward 8. And as our family grew, so did our need for housing, which we took opportunities in other parts of the city. Our sons played hockey at the Dave Anderchuk Arena. My son Kyle attended Westmount Secondary School. I have graduated from Mohawk College. My wife has been a long-term employee at the Royal Bank of Canada, specifically at the Upper James branch. I just attended a doctor's appointment yesterday. His office is in Ward 8. I've been with him for over 20 years. Likewise, I'm going for a tune-up at my local garage, which I've been at for the last 20 years, which is also a Ward 8 business. There are several qualifications necessary to be an effective community leader. If you limit your choice to a specific geographical area, you're at risk at selecting someone who is underqualified or simply supporting a system that upholds the status quo. Recently, we've seen Hamilton elect a member of parliament who lives in Mississauga. We've had one, maybe two members of city council that don't live in the ridings they represent. And if I understand correctly as well, our current Minister of Sport lives in Burlington and not Hamilton. I've been a firm supporter of encouraging voters to engage with political candidates and make a well-formed decision on who to vote for. Ask the question, what have you been doing for the community? And I feel the choice will be pretty obvious.
What are two of your citywide priorities for Hamilton?
Well, I feel my priorities are reflective of that of the community in which I live. And the two that seem to stand out predominantly include housing as well as keeping tax increases within a reasonable limit.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 8?
Looking specifically at Ward 8, I feel that based on the feedback that I'm receiving, the two top priorities involve public safety and quality of life standards. And I would like to elaborate further with regards to quality of life standards. I'm announcing here today for the first time the creation of the Ward 8 Community Benefits Fund, which will allocate up to $25,000 of my annual municipal salary towards ward-specific areas involving community food banks, emergency shelter, accessibility improvements, environmental initiatives, seniors, and entrepreneurial programs for women.
The city of Hamilton is facing a fiscal crisis. According to the city's own financial projections, Hamilton's discretionary reserve was forecast to be down to just $1 in 2027. The city's last fiscal update was in November 2023, so none of us know the current state of city finances. In November 2026, when the new council term begins, decisions will have to be made. What are your thoughts on this coming fiscal cliff, and how do you plan to approach budgeting?
Thank you. Great question. And I think what you point out with this being a by-election, there are certain disadvantages for any candidate coming into office this late in the term. As a priority, I think it'd be incumbent on anyone to do a deep dive into the city's financial situation, looking over budget forecasts as well as deficit estimates. And I would have to rely on input from any consultants as well as city staff towards making any informed decision. I would point out, however, that I would be reluctant in voting on any issue that would have a significant impact on economic impact, that is, on Hamilton residents, unless I have the required information to do so.
As Ward 8 Councillor, you will have around $2 million per year in discretionary funds to allocate. How do you plan to manage these funds?
The discretionary funds that are available to city councillors would mirror the needs of the community towards community-based initiatives that impact the community the most. What I mean is through community engagement and consultation with specific neighborhoods, I would look at specific requirements and then look at allocating those funds towards getting the biggest bang for the buck.
You're promising to improve City Hall. I'm feeling a bit exhausted on this topic because I heard every candidate in the 2022 change election promise they were going to make City Hall transparent. If elected, you will have 1 year inside City Hall before the new council term begins in November 2026. How will you use this year to prepare an action plan on transparency for the next council term?
So my approach, as I've approached any objective or project, is through an effective community engagement and consultation process. Through this process, in meeting with either formally or informally with organized groups or individual residents to get their feedback on priority issues, I'm hoping to alleviate and break down the stigma that there's apparent distrust in our municipal leadership. Having said that, I'm fully supportive of initiatives that would see the creation of a municipal ombudsman. And I'm also adamantly opposed to going into closed sessions, which I feel the current members of council seem to rely on. I think it's actions like these that tend to create skepticism and cynicism on the part of taxpayers. And I will scrutinize or challenge any motion that I don't feel needs to go into closed sessions. With regards to the employment of a municipal ombudsman, I would support that position only and if it's fully independent of any influence from either staff or municipal leaderships, as we've seen has been successfully implemented in other bodies such as municipalities as well as school boards.
October 8th, you'll be sworn into office and take your seat in the council horseshoe. On that day, council will vote on zoning reforms, including upzoning Upper James between the Link and Rymel, and residential zoning reform to permit medium-density missing middle housing along minor and major arterial roadways. The housing crisis will be a literal day-one issue for you. How will you approach planning approvals, and how will you use zoning reform to address housing shortages?
Thank you. I did receive a message with regards to future plans on development along the Upper James Corridor. And quite frankly, I can't imagine anyone being in office for such a short time and being able to make an informed decision on something that's so vitally important to Ward 8, as well as the city of Hamilton as a whole. Having said that, if I'm not convinced as an elected official that I have sufficient information to make an informed decision, I will either ask to defer or remove myself from voting on such a decision, or to put forward a motion asking my colleagues to allow me more time to absorb the information and reports that have come forward that I'm assuming a lot of them have already had the opportunity to review.
Let's discuss development charges. Mississauga Mayor Carolyn Parrish was elected on June 10th, 2024. She formed a housing task force that first met on July 10th and issued a comprehensive report 6 months later in January 2025. The report's action plan was implemented by a unanimous vote of Mississauga City Council. It creates deep incentives for new market affordable and family housing and has time limits to ensure developers actually build. This proves municipalities can respond quickly to housing market conditions. What are your thoughts on development charges? Do you have goals for development charge reform, and how will you approach this issue if elected?
Based on my understanding, development charges play a very significant role in the municipal revenues that we receive to help us maintain and grow our community. So the recent decision to offer, I believe it was a 20% reduction in development charges, I believe it was Councillor Clark who expressed a degree of skepticism as to how this was going to impact our tax levy. So I think anything that comes forward, even though I do feel it's a priority, it needs to be thought out. I'm a very process-oriented person, and I don't want to dig a deeper hole for us to get in over our heads and make it unattainable. I would point out that cities like Mississauga versus Hamilton and other communities, Hamilton is a much older community with aging infrastructure, so I would assume that our infrastructure priorities with regards to maintenance and replacement would be much larger. As well as a learning experience, the tiny shelters or tiny homes project that we saw recently that was over budget by what I believe to be $5 million, I believe is an example on too much haste and not enough pre-planning and thought. So I think it's vitally important that we look at development charges as a critical input with regards to our municipal revenues. And deep thought needs to be made with regards to any changes to that. As well, I would point out, as an aside, Councillor Carr questioned whether or not these discounts to the developers would be passed on to the homeowners, and there was no answer for that, which is quite frustrating to me. Why should we give big property developers breaks and discounts for funds that'll just eventually end up in their pockets? Those savings should be passed on to homebuyers, especially first-time homebuyers, in my opinion. And development charges will be at the top of my watch list with regards to motions and other types of proposals coming forward.
Road safety is a significant issue in Ward 8. Upper James is by far Hamilton's most dangerous road, with nearly every section significantly more dangerous than average for both motorists and pedestrians. What's your plan to address safety on Upper James? Does your plan include unpopular but necessary changes? And if so, how do you plan to implement them?
As you may be fully aware from your last interview with the former Ward 8 Council, the topic of public safety was a priority for the majority of Ward 8 residents during the 2022 municipal election, and in my opinion remains a top priority for residents even today. I'd like to begin by recognizing the effort and support of the former Ward 8 Councillor, who championed the completion of the Ward 8 Complete Streets Report, which involved a comprehensive neighborhood traffic safety audit with engineers, consultants, and community residents at a cost of $150,000. Seems like a very good and a reasonable investment, in my opinion. My priority is to assess our current status regarding these actionable items, support the continued implementation of these improvements, and make adjustments if needed, all to foster a safer community environment. With regards to Upper James, I feel that I have a unique perspective when it comes to public safety, having worked in the public safety sector for nearly 30 years. There are times when I've been on Upper James and it felt like that I've been on a racetrack, and there seems to be a lack of enforcement along that corridor. I'm supportive of proactive enforcement initiatives as well as traffic calming features that involve strategic street designs, traffic systems, and technologies such as red light cameras and CCTV cameras combined with public awareness and education campaigns for both drivers and pedestrians, and conducting annual safety audits to ensure that our streets remain safe.
What's your overall plan to address road safety?
Firstly, my overall plan recognized that any proposed strategies must be evaluated through a neighborhood-specific lens tailored to the requirements of each unique area. Basically, key areas would include supporting the implementation of the recommendations made within the Ward 8 Complete Street Safety Plan, which includes an estimated $1.5 million of infrastructure improvements, working with staff to confirm the status of available funding to achieve these improvements, which may include repairs and upgrades, which, to my understanding, was estimated at around $39 million. Conducting an annual safety audit in consultation with residents to assess the effectiveness of these improvements and identifying targeted solutions unique to specific neighborhoods.
Hamilton City Council meetings. Attendance, respect, and focus are all issues. I want to ask you about one specific issue. Councillors leaving, not attending, or not focusing attention on public delegates. What expectation will you set for yourself when it comes to listening to delegations as a councillor?
To me, ultimately, the council chambers represent the ultimate in a public forum or public gallery. The city hall, the assets, the money that we have, and the municipal levy all belong to the taxpayers. And I think a certain degree of decorum and respect needs to be maintained in council chambers, both from the audience as well as members of council. To me, in my personal opinion, not to make any disparaging comments or remarks, to me, as an effective leader, you need to be present at your job every day. That includes going into the office and being present at council meetings and committee meetings. So for me, an effective leader involves someone who's at the workplace doing their job each day, whether in their office or attending committee or council meetings, being there to engage with delegates as well and offer input towards initiatives that are vital to our community. I'm reluctant to engage in any type of virtual meetings. In my opinion, I think municipal leaders are compensated enough that their presence should be through a physical presence at City Hall and not virtually or online.
Ontario's Municipal Act was amended to make mayors more powerful and more accountable as the head of council. How do you believe strong mayor powers have changed the role of councillors? And how do you see yourself effectively achieving your platform in cooperation with the mayor and 14 other councillors?
I think as a leader, the elected leader of Ward 8, I think it's incumbent to work closely with other members of council towards ward issues as well as citywide issues. The matter of strong mayor's powers, although I don't fully support the granting of those powers, I feel are beneficial to communities in making important decisions that council may have difficulties in overcoming through a standard voting process. Having said that, I think working with other members of council includes working with the mayor towards a collective vision that benefits residents across the city of Hamilton.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
So the two main areas that I would like to focus on includes eliminating the current hybrid work schedule for municipal employees, currently involving approximately 1,700 municipal employees. This also includes a review of the proposed staff hiring freeze. This Let's Get Real movement, I feel, was very spontaneous and not well thought out. And quite frankly, other members of council have already raised a concern that we don't know how any type of hiring freeze will impact the level of services within the city of Hamilton. Area number two would be working in collaboration with human resource professionals to review and revise the current performance measurement system being applied to staff performance and holding persons accountable for decisions which impact Hamilton residents.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
Yeah, so the one being more specific to Ward 8, but as well leading to citywide benefits as well, would be the implementation of the Ward 8 Community Benefits Fund, and then looking at supports or areas of supporting affordable housing This would include supporting the need for affordable housing across our community by working with community nonprofit housing providers and developers that can contend with a policy that puts the community first and not an initiative to create profits. This would also include utilizing the Office of the Housing Secretariat for Ward 8 and citywide needs with regards to the creation of safe and affordable housing options for low-income residents, maintaining the Municipal Affordable Housing Program, making use of municipal and provincial housing programs and processes such as the Housing Accelerator Fund, Multiplex Incentive Program, and Housing Development Incentives, improving on our current homelessness action plan by recognizing affordable alternatives to homelessness, looking at the Tiffany Lands project not necessarily as a failure but as a learning experience and building upon that model and making it successful for the benefits of persons in need of homes, and supporting Hamilton's action plan of building 1,200 new affordable homes by 2026.
It's August 2026. I'm writing a review of the four-year council term that's just ending. What three words do you hope I use to describe your 10 months as a city councilor?
Sitting here now, 10 months doesn't sound like a very long period of time, but I hope to create an impactful presence as the Ward 8 councilor and being described as engaging, which includes being accessible, having a degree of integrity and honesty, which is a high demand of voters these days, as well as being committed to residents of Ward 8, as well as the city of Hamilton itself.
What experience has most motivated you to seek a seat on Hamilton City Council?
So I think my experience as a lifelong resident of Hamilton, being a homeowner, a parent, a husband, having worked all my life, I've worked since I've been age 14. I've maintained a balance of continuing my education even while working full time. And most predominantly, being involved the last 40 years as a community coach, both within the school board and community club programs, sitting on various boards of directors. I feel those experiences, being involved in community benefit initiatives to improve the quality of life of persons, especially those groups that tend to be underserved, persons with disabilities, our Indigenous communities, as well as people from low socioeconomic backgrounds, which I've come from. I believe in giving back to the community, and once again, I'm not looking at enriching myself as the Ward 8 counselor, but giving back to the residents of Ward 8, as well as the citywide population, and making this a better place for families to live.
Thank you. That's the end of the questions. Do you have any closing remarks that you wish to share?
No, just I wish to thank you for creating this opportunity and devoting so much time and efforts towards the democratic process that I'm sure the residents of Hamilton appreciate. And I wish to offer best of luck to all the other candidates moving forward. And let's move forward with a very positive election and making this a great place to live.